Hello children, I am Mrs. Anjalika Sen, TGT Science from ACS 5 Mumbai. Today I will start the module on transportation in human beings of the lesson Life Processes. In the subsequent modules, I will talk about transportation in plants also. So let's begin with module 1. Slide 1. We are talking about the transportation in human beings, and that is also called as the circulatory system or the cardiovascular system. And we see that the parts of this system are the heart, blood and the blood vessels, arteries, veins and capillaries. So we have the heart, which is a pumping organ that pushes blood around the body. We have blood, which is a fluid connective tissue. And also we have a network of tubes, the blood vessels, that helps blood to reach all the tissues and each and every cell of our body. We will take each and every part one by one. Let us move to slide 2. In slide 2, we see the human heart, the structure of the human heart. And I have drawn this structure, children, because it is a little easier structure where you see the pulmonary arteries and aorta are not intertwined. They are kept separate so that we are able to understand the structure of the heart easily. Now look at the heart, the size of the heart. Clench your fist, children, and the size of your clenched fist is the size of the heart. And where is it located? It is located in between the lungs in the thoracic cavity or the chest cavity. And it is more or less towards the left side in our thoracic cavity. The heart is covered or enclosed in a two-layered sac, which is also called as pericardium. The heart is made up of cardiac muscles, the myocardium, and these cardiac muscles are very, very special. They contract and relax rhythmically throughout life. Please note the word rhythmic, children. The contraction and relaxation of the heart is not random. It is very rhythmic, okay? So the cardiac muscles contract and relax rhythmically throughout the life of the person. Now, if you look at the diagram, you will notice that the heart has prominently four chambers. The two upper chambers are called as the auricles or atria, and the two lower chambers are called as the ventricles. And we notice that the four chambers are well separated by what is called as septum. They are the dividing walls. Now, in the diagram you notice that the left side of the heart, I have colored it red, showing that the left side of the heart has oxygenated blood, and the right side I have colored it blue, showing that the right side of the heart has deoxygenated blood. Now, you must have noticed that I am talking of the heart, what looks right to you, I have written as left. The heart is actually laterally flipped or inversed. So as if you are looking at the heart of a person facing you or in front of you. Alright? That is why in all the diagrams of the organs, we draw it in the laterally inversed way. So going back to the structure of the heart, we see that the four chambers are completely separated. You can see the interventricular septum over there very clearly separating the two ventricles. And we notice that the oxygenated and the deoxygenated blood are kept completely separate in the left and the right side of the heart respectively. Now we go to look at the walls of the four chambers. The two auricles that are placed above are the chambers where the blood is collected. They collect the blood. And the two ventricles, which are placed lower, the chambers placed lower, are the distributors. They distribute the blood. So the walls of the auricles are thinner than the walls of the ventricles because they send blood only from their chamber down to the ventricle below. So, though they contract to send the blood down, they don't need to have a lot of pressure. Look at the ventricular walls. The ventricular walls are much thicker because these ventricles, they send blood or distribute blood to various parts of the body. You observe that the right ventricular wall is thinner than the left ventricular wall for the simple reason that the right ventricle is sending deoxygenated blood to the lung. Where is the lung located? In the thoracic cavity. The heart is also located in the thoracic cavity. So the distance traveled, or the distance through which the deoxygenated blood has to be sent, is less. So the pressure created will be comparatively lesser. So that's why the right ventricular wall is thinner. The left ventricular wall is the thickest. The reason, the left ventricle, when it contracts, it is sending blood to all parts of the body. Okay, it is sending blood, right, the oxygenated blood, to all different parts of the body, right from the tip of the head to the tip of the toe. So the pressure created by the left ventricle is the maximum. Okay, that's why the left ventricular wall is the thickest compared to the other walls in the heart. And so the two ventricles, when they contract, they are sending blood out of the heart to the respective places. Moving to slide 3, we continue and we see that there are certain valves. Valves are very important flap-like structures that close and prevent the backflow of blood. Let us look at the different valves in the heart. Between the right auricle and right ventricle lies the tricuspid valve. Between the left auricle and the left ventricle lies the bicuspid valve, which is also called as mitral valve. Now, we have two valves in the two, the pulmonary artery and the aorta also. The valve present in the pulmonary arteries is the pulmonary valve, and the valve in the aorta is the aortic valve. These valves play a very important role because they allow the blood to flow only in one direction. They will prevent the backflow of blood. Now, we see that the right auricle or the atrium will receive deoxygenated blood from the different parts of the body via the vena cavas. You have the superior vena cava bringing the deoxygenated blood from the upper part of the body, and you have the inferior vena cava bringing the deoxygenated blood from the lower part of the body. These two, superior and inferior vena cavas, pour the blood into the right auricle. The right auricle sends the blood to the right ventricle, and then the right ventricle will send the deoxygenated blood via the pulmonary arteries to the lung to get oxygenated. Look at the left side of the heart. We see that the left auricle or left atrium receives blood from the pulmonary veins, which bring blood from the lung after it is oxygenated. This oxygenated blood is sent to the left. The left auricle receives the blood and sends it to the left ventricle. Then the left ventricle pumps and sends the oxygenated blood through the aorta to the various parts of the body. So we see that this is the structure of the heart, and we also know that the heart beats at a rate of 75 beats per minute. This is the normal heart rate. With this, we have understood the various parts and the structure of the heart. We move to slide number 4, and there we are going to understand the flow of blood through the heart. It is very important to understand how the blood is entering the heart and leaving the heart, especially because we have the left side having oxygenated blood and the right side having deoxygenated blood. Both these two types of blood are entering the heart and leaving the heart, but they don't get mixed up. So we need to understand how the blood is flowing through the heart. Now, from the diagram, we are going to understand that. We'll see this process. Oxygen poor or deoxygenated blood from the body returns to the right atrium or auricle of the heart. The blood from the upper body returns through the superior vena cava. We have already understood that. And blood from the lower part of the body returns through the inferior vena cava. Now, as this right auricle is filled with blood, it will contract. and when it contracts, the tricuspid valve opens and the blood will get pumped into the relaxed right ventricle that is just below it. When the right ventricle is full, the tricuspid valve closes, and when it closes, it prevents the blood from going back to the auricle again. Now the ventricle is full of blood, the tricuspid valve is closed. Now the ventricle, the right ventricle will contract and the pulmonary valve opens, which is in the pulmonary artery. So the pulmonary valve opens and the blood will be pumped with a force into the pulmonary arteries and they will reach the lung. As soon as the blood flows out through the pulmonary arteries to the two lungs, the pulmonary valve will close. This will prevent blood from flowing back to the right ventricle. Now, after the blood gets oxygenated in the lungs, the oxygen-rich blood returns to the left auricle or left atrium via the pulmonary veins. And as this left auricle fills with blood, it will contract. And it contracts means the bicuspid or the mitral valve will open here. And the blood will be pumped from the left auricle or atrium into the left ventricle, which is again right below it. This happens at the same time when the right atrium pumps blood to the right ventricle on the other side of the heart. Okay? So now as the left ventricle is full, the bicuspid or mitral valve closes, the aortic valve that is present in the aorta, the aortic valve opens and the left ventricle contracts and sends with a pressure the oxygen-rich blood into the aorta to reach all the parts of the body. This happens again at the same time as the right ventricle pumps blood into the pulmonary artery on the other side of the heart. The aortic valve now quickly closes after the blood is sent out, the oxygenated blood is sent out. The aortic valve quickly closes to prevent blood from flowing back to the ventricle. Meanwhile, the auricles have again filled with blood and the cycle repeats itself. So, though we understand it as the right side of the heart and the left side of the heart, what is happening is the two auricles will relax, the blood will fill, respective bloods will fill in the auricles contract, send the blood down to the ventricles, then the ventricles contract and send the respective blood, that is the pulmonary arteries send the deoxygenated blood to the lung for oxygenation and the aorta sends the oxygenated blood to all the parts of the body. So continuously this process is taking place. Again the auricle gets filled up, contracts, sends the blood to the ventricles. The ventricles get filled up, contracts, sends the blood to either the lung or the different parts of the body. This is the way how the blood is flowing through the heart. Thing we need to note is that the blood is flowing in one direction only simply because of the valves, children. Once the valve closes, the contraction does not allow the blood to move in the opposite direction. Again, it will move in one direction only. So it comes into the blood, whether it is the oxygenated blood or the deoxygenated blood, it comes into the lung and then moves out. It comes into the heart and then moves out of the heart. So this is a very continuous process, very rhythmic, and that is why we say the heart beats in a rhythmic manner. Let us move to slide number 5 or the next slide, children. And there you see we have got a wonderful flow chart showing the circulation of blood through the heart. It is very nice and it is easy. If you go through this, you will find it is very easy to remember. You see, all the deoxygenated blood has been shown with the blue arrow and the oxygenated blood has been shown with the moving with the red arrow. Now you look at that, the superior vena cava and inferior vena cava will send the blood to the right atrium or auricle. It is also called auricle. From the right auricle or atrium, it will go to the right ventricle. Through what? Through the tricuspid valve. Okay. Now, right ventricle, when it pumps, it will send the blood to the pulmonary arteries. It should be arteries here, not pulmonary artery, children, for the simple reason that both the pulmonary arteries are taking the deoxygenated blood, one to the right lung and the other to the left lung. So the right ventricle will send the blood, deoxygenated blood, to the pulmonary arteries through what? Through the pulmonary valve. Okay, then the pulmonary arteries have taken the deoxygenated blood to the lung. The lung will oxygenate it. Immediately it becomes red. Look, the arrow has become red. So the oxygenated blood will now be sent to the left auricle or the left atrium through what? Through the pulmonary veins, one from the right lung, the other from the left lung. Now the left atrium or auricle will send it down to the left ventricle through the mitral valve, which is also called as the bicuspid valve. Then the left ventricle will send the blood through the aorta to the different parts of the body, because it is oxygenated blood, and there we see in the aorta we have the aortic valve, and aorta will distribute it to all parts of the body. And after that, it doesn't end there actually, children. After that, the blood gets deoxygenated, right? Because oxygen is given to all the cells and carbon dioxide is taken. So that is now collecting, it is coming through the veins, and the veins join to form the superior and the inferior vena cava, and they pour again the deoxygenated blood back to the right atrium. So this is a cyclic thing happening continuously, and that is why we say it's the circulation of blood. And this shows very nicely, the flow diagram shows the movement of the blood through the heart very nicely. Let us move to the last slide. And over here, I've put up a Venn diagram of the pulmonary artery and the pulmonary vein, children. It's an excellent Venn diagram which will help you to understand and remember the difference. Because see, children, normally we say artery carries oxygenated blood. But here we see pulmonary artery is carrying deoxygenated blood, for the simple reason any artery is taking blood away from the heart. But pulmonary artery is taking deoxygenated blood away from the heart on the right side, right? So pulmonary artery is the only artery that is carrying deoxygenated blood. Likewise, a vein is supposed, we know the definition of the vein. Vein brings deoxygenated blood back to the heart. But here, pulmonary vein is the only vein bringing oxygenated blood back to the heart. So it's a vein because it is bringing blood back to the heart, but it is carrying oxygenated blood. So pulmonary vein is the only vein that is carrying oxygenated blood. Now look over here in the middle, you see the similarity. The only similarity between this pulmonary artery and pulmonary vein is that both of them are associated with the lung. They are both associated with the lung. Okay. Now what is it we see? Pulmonary artery is having the deoxygenated blood. And how is it associated with the lung? It is taking the blood away from the heart to the lung. Whereas pulmonary vein is also associated with the lung. It is bringing the oxygenated blood from the lung to the heart. Okay, so it both of them. Now look at the blood. Pulmonary artery gets the blood, how, from where the blood is filling in the pulmonary artery? It is filling from the right ventricle. Okay, and it takes blood to the lung, deoxygenated blood. Pulmonary vein is facilitating the flow of oxygenated blood from the lung to the auricle or the atrium. Okay, look at the pressure. Pulmonary artery, the blood is being pushed through the ventricle, so by the contraction of the ventricle, so the pressure of the pulmonary artery is higher blood pressure. Whereas pulmonary vein, it is coming from the lung to the atrium, so the pressure in the pulmonary vein is much lower. So this very nicely shows us the difference between pulmonary artery and pulmonary vein, and the similarity telling that both of them are associated with the lung. This is a nice Venn diagram, children, and it will help you to remember the difference and similarity of these two, that is the pulmonary artery and the pulmonary vein. With this, I end module 1. In the next other modules, we will be talking about the rest of the chapter. Thank you, children.